You know, it's been a journey for a lot of us. For me, it's been 15 years. Been practicing these steps. I say practicing. And I tell you, there hasn't been a dull moment. And I'm surely grateful for all that he's done in my life and is going to do. And I'm really excited about what he's doing and what he has done. And that word to me, has done, is really significant to me this last year, that he died on the cross for me. And before that, he suffered many wounds and stripes and lashes and blows and humiliation. He suffered all of that for us so that we could be healed. And the word says that we were healed, and I'm claiming that. I'm claiming that I can walk in that. Word says that greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. And it amplifies that in Romans 8, something or other. I think I'll look it up with my glasses on. Well, there they are. Does anybody know what Romans 8 says? It starts out with, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Isn't it good that we can just tell the liar of lies, the great hypocrite, the one who wants to tear us down, that he can take a hike because there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ? Isn't that great? Amen, Michael. Okay, it says right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells in you. I mean, that is amazing. Same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in us. And I believe that what I'm experiencing this year is that I want that power that he's invested in me and in all of us to be activated. I want to live that life. I simply don't want to just go around feeling sad and worried and fretted and full of anxiety and 20 feet off the bumper in front of me, worried about where I'm going to get to, instead of just enjoying the ride and believing that he has good things for me. And I want to be ready for the next step he has for me. And that's the lesson night, is ready. And what's come behind this lesson is the fact that many of you have come into the realization that you're not alone. You've come out of your denial that that you need help. And you've expressed that to someone, to God and to yourself and to someone you trust. And you became willing to the Lord to help you and to take control of your life. And today, many of you have actually taken all those things that have happened to you that you've done, and you've done this inventory. You've written it down. You've actually owned it. There's something to that, right? Those of you have done that. Was there something to that when you wrote it down? It kind of helped you own it. So you've owned that, the things that you've done, the things that have happened to you. You wrote it in an inventory, and you've told somebody about that, those things. You've talked to somebody about that. You talked to the Lord about it. You prayed about it, and you shared it probably with your sponsor or your pastor or somebody that you trust. And so tonight, what we're going to start doing in Principle 5 and Step 6 is we're going to get ready for the big victories. You know, some people think that the hard work is done, but really, there's some next steps, and these next steps, the syllabus says that it's the next steps where the real men and real women go, you know? They can take on the challenge of the real changes and the real victories where God wants to take us. And that's where we want to make everything right. We want to come totally clean, and we want to get rid of all that stuff off of us. You know, when you wrote down that inventory, and when you shared that inventory, didn't a lot of you feel light? Didn't the weight come off a little bit? It did. It did for me. I mean, I felt the weight go off. And when I gave that to the Lord, I just felt him take it. And I felt him come and reside with me even more, and I felt him really just take a place because I was willing to trust him. Anyway, in Ready, the first letter is to release control. And I think this lesson is going to be sort of short and sweet. Hopefully I can make it that way, because I think it should be. And also, whenever I do a lesson, for some of you that know, I really just try to give you a testimony of how this is working in my own life. Because I really don't think it's valid unless it is, for me anyway. And I really hope that it comes through that the Lord has worked these things in my own life and to many people I know here. It says that releasing control is like a doorway, then the key to getting through that door is willingness. And for me, that's what really was a big thing for me. I think even to show up at CR, it was a big step for me to not only trust the church, to come in one of these buildings, but to trust leaders, to trust pastors, to trust people inside that church. I really had a problem. I had a lot of pain that I thought I'd received from the church. And some of it I did. Some of it was just how life dealt with me. And I had a hard time with churches. I had a hard time with church people, leaders. And so when I sat out in the back parking lot, I really didn't want to go in. But I was willing to go in because I was tired of everything that I had experienced in life. All the pain, all the hurt, all the abuse. And again, all the ways I reacted to that. All the abuse I gave, all the hurt I gave, all the pain I gave out. And so I sat out there and I said, Lord, I'll go in there, but I need your help. And I became willing to go in there. You know, I had some fear, I had some reservations, but I was willing. And he helped me. So willingness is really the key to releasing the control that you still might be hanging on to. It's good. It's okay to have fear. It's okay to have reservations. That's all part of our human condition that we've had for so long in our life. But we need to let go, and we need to let God have control in our lives for these next steps we're about to go through. The scripture there says, help me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in good paths, for your spirit is good. Psalms 143:10. In the New American Standard, it says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. It's kind of how I felt when I first came into recovery, into this sanctification process. I really felt for one time I was on level ground, and I was hearing common sense. I was hearing things that were very profound, but were very reasonable and easy, and I wanted to have it, you know. And I knew that all those things that were sort of holding me out from this common sense thing that God had for me was just all that hurt and that pain, that stuff. Those were the things that were keeping me from his helping me. The E in Ready is easy does it. For me, it took so much pain, so much blind running and anger and desperation and some drunken nights and some lots of stone days. I'd get in my car, I think you've all heard, and I'd roll up me a bunch of fatty marijuana joints and I'd go for drives out to nowhere because there was something out there, some great big mountain where I could get a shovel and find some pony underneath, you know, but there was never nothing. It was always really an empty drive, sometimes very beautiful, but I couldn't take it with me and I really couldn't enjoy it because of all the pain and the hurt inside. So with all those things I had experienced all my life, every bit of 48 years when I showed up here, you know, it just wasn't going to go away that night. Wasn't for me anyway. I've heard some people, I've heard there's a couple of rare people, man, they were on the Holy Spirit carpet ride for Jesus that first day and never looked back. But for me, I'll tell you what, it was a 15-year process. And by the time I got to the end of 7 years, I thought I was doing some good things. And about 7 years, that seventh year, man, I tell you what, I got smacked down so hard, I felt. I thought that'd be the time when I would run. It sort of came within the church. There was a hard thing for me to deal with. And he met me and he helped me. But I'll tell you what, It's taken all that 15 years to work something in me where little by little I could grasp little things, little pieces here, a moment here, you know, a touch here, an experience here, a revelation. And really, I learned to do it all one day at a time. I think after about 7 years, that's the most important thing I learned, is that I'm going to do this one day at a time. And it really was sort of almost the hardest repetition of thinking in my life that I had to do and get in there that I just had today. That's all I've got. And in fact, I battle with it daily. I don't know of anybody else who has as many irons in the fire as me. I'm a cowboy. I got cows. I got 9 cows on a farm. And I was raised in a city, and I'll have to tell you, after doing this for about 9 years now, I don't know still anything about cows, and I'm feeding them every day. I am not a cowboy. And we have rental houses. I have a business. I like to fellowship and get involved in ministry and worship and stuff. And, I've only got one day. So when I wake up, I check in with the Lord, and I ask him what it is that's important to him, and what is his will, and what am I supposed to do. And until I get my key in the ignition, I'm ready to take off. Sometimes I don't know. I'll just sit there, and he reveals to me what I'm supposed to do. And for a man who's in business, that's got clients out there that expect me to show up, sometimes that's very unnerving. More so for them, for me, because sometimes I have to explain it. It's never explainable. But he blesses me, and they're patient, and they wait. And so does everything in my life. It waits. And I'll tell you, it waits because he has it in order for me. I believe he provides everything for me. If there's a mess in my life, I'll guarantee you right now, I made it happen and I brought it in there, or I feared it into existence, or I was full of anxiety to make it so. No one wants to see the top of my desk. Please don't touch it, because I know exactly what that is on top of that 10th thing. There's 10 things there. I know what the 5th thing is, and it's just a mess. But I'll tell you what, the Lord helps me get through it one day at a time. Psalms 37:5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it, and he will. I'm going to read another translation in a little bit more context. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It also says in Matthew 6:34, Jesus talks about, why are you full of anxiety, Michael? Why are you 20 feet on somebody's bumper going 65 miles an hour on Carver curves? If you don't know who that is, that's from how you get the Estacada to Portland. And I usually drive that road in my van about 60 miles an hour. But he's been talking to me for the last 2 years, and I don't have to do that anymore. I can just back off and take it easy. I must admit, though, I love to drive fast, right? Driving fast is good sometimes, I guess. I don't know if you're in the right place. I like to drive fast, but I don't have to deal with anxiety. I don't have to listen to it. That worry and that stress of, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Will I have a roof over my head tomorrow? The Lord says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew 6:34. Now, the Lord said, think about not doing it. He didn't say that. He didn't say, maybe you should consider. He said right there, so do not worry about tomorrow. He's telling us not to do it. And so we don't. We can trust him, and he's going to have a better outcome for us. So the thing in the E is to take it easy. Easy does it. We don't have to be stressed out. And I'll tell you one thing about this process. If you've gotten to step 6 and principle 5, it's taken a while. It probably hasn't been perfect. It wasn't for me. I had to take little portions and pieces. I had to do it on the time that God gave me. I had to do it on the way he was dealing with me. And it's going to take some time. It's a process. It's a real process, and you need to do it the way that the Lord is going to do it with you and not do it alone. The next letter is A, accept the change. And I said you don't need to do it alone. We'll get into that later, but we don't need to do it alone. A is accept the change. The space between the recognition and that willingness we talked about, you know, for me it can be filled with fear and doubt and sometimes even shame. And although I came in dealing with anger and anxiety after 15 years, I'm still struggling with that. And I'm still having some bouts with that. I mean, I've done things in my business that I've done hundreds of times, and then the job will come up, and I look at it and go, oh, man, I just can't do it, you know. And even coming up here to teach, I thought, you know, I just hope it goes well. I hope I have something to say. Well, it seems like there isn't any problem. I'll just tell you what's going on in my life, you know. But, you know, it's going to be there. But I'll have to tell you, although we're suffering those things, most of those things, I've been suffering with the fear and anxiety. They're lies. They're absolute lies that I've had spoken into my life for years. For all those years that I was having those bad things, I was spoken of and told and shamed and I took on this identity that I was worthless and stupid. At 48 years old, I came here with the identity. I couldn't even said what that label was, but I know it was working right back here. You're worthless and you're stupid, Michael. And I said, so what? I'm going to go in there and he's going to give me some help and I'm going to get the help I need. So I need to accept the change that was going to happen for me here. And I didn't really want to, I had a lot of expectations, but I learned that I shouldn't have a lot of expectations because that's really connected to that anxiety. It was really connected for me. So I learned to just reach out and accept that moment, that thing he really wanted to work on me. I wasn't going to work on the whole catalog of change. I wasn't going to take the whole syllabus and just say, hey, I'm going to be well right now. It took some time. And I accepted the things that he had for me. And I learned how to surrender to that change, to God working in my life. Surrender is a very big thing that's connected to that willingness, you know. And it's a process. I came to the door. I opened the door. I became willing to have him change. But then I really had another process, and that process was to surrender. 1 Peter 1:13 through 14 says, so then, have your mind ready for action. Keep alert and set your hope completely on the blessing which will be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Be obedient to God and do not allow your lives to be shaped by those desires you had when you were still ignorant. I was very ignorant when I came in here, and all those things that were from the past or really had shaped my life, still wanted to shape my life. But I had to be willing to accept the change that God wanted to do in my life. And I had to be humbled a lot, a whole lot. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The D, do replace your character defects. You know, when you've got your life filled up with dysfunction and anger and fear, or drinking, or smoking, or drugging, or doing adultery, or you have some sexual orientation problems with life, what you're doing out there is inappropriate, and you want to work on those things, and you want to give those to God, and he takes them away, there's going to be a void there. And we need to replace that void with something that he gives us to do. And he'll give us something to do. But if something's taken out of our life, an activity is taken away, we don't need to have that void or that slack time or that idleness in our life. What they say about idle hands or the devil's workshop, and they can be. And I would suggest to you that, firstly, maybe you might want to replace some of those habits and things you did with prayer and Bible reading. That's a good thing to replace it with. Sometimes you can replace it with the fellowship that you belong to. We'll have a lot of activities and things for you to do. Be willing to volunteer for that. Get involved with that. CR has things that you can do. You know, there's all kinds of places to serve in CR and places to grow. Even a place to learn how to become a leader in CR. And they say that CR is one of the biggest leader builders in the church today. It's a huge builder of leaders. So there's all kinds of things and ways to get involved. You know, even in your habits, what you do. Right now I took a coin because I want to speak to my wife in a better way. I want to have a better relationship with her because I struggle with relationships, not just with my wife, but with a lot of people. And I thought, well, one way I can deal with something, I can take out a negative word. I can take out a negative way I present myself or I speak, and I can replace it with an affirming word or a positive word to somebody, something that builds up. I can take that critical spirit and just give it a football punt right out and go pick up something that's going to be more life-giving, you know, and real. So whatever we're changing in life and we're taking out, we need to replace it with something good. I had a foul mouth when I still came here. It's one of the first things I wanted to do with my integrity is I wanted to get rid of that foul mouth because I really knew it wasn't profiting me nothing. It never did. It never made me look tough, really. Maybe some people had a laugh, you know. I mean, there was a whole lot of stuff that had to go along with a filthy mouth to have, you know, somebody like you or something. But there was no profit in it. So I wanted that gone. And I needed to replace it with something else. And that was, you know, words of affirmation. Matthew 12:43-45. When an evil spirit goes out of a person, it travels over dry country looking for a place to rest. If it can't find one, it says to itself, I will go back to my house. So it goes back and finds the house empty. Then it goes out and brings along seven other spirits even worse than itself, and they come and live there. Which is what Jesus said. It's a warning. I've experienced that. I've experienced being in fellowship, full gospel, full of the Lord, singing and praising and giving hymns and singing songs. And this is before I came here. And just really realizing some of the goodness of the Lord. Heck, you know, 42 years before I came in here at 48, I gave my life to the Lord in a tabernacle out here in Canby. And I was reading How Great Thou Art, and I had the most profound thought I'd ever had at the age of 20, that the Lord was real. I didn't have any profound thoughts when I was 20, but the most profound thought I ever had that God was real. And I was reading How Great Thou Art, and there it was. And I walked down to the altar and gave my life to the Lord. About 4 or 5 years later, I'm back out playing music in taverns, and I'm telling you, seven worse demons came and visited me. I got more angry. I got more upset. I got more lost. So it's true. I was very ignorant back in those days. I was that lad they talked about in Proverbs. You know, walked down the street and sin just came and gobbled me up and threw me around for a few years. I'd not advise to do that. I'd advise to get filled up with Jesus. If you're taking something out, make sure you replace it with something. The why is yield to the growth. Did I skip a letter? No, I didn't, did I? I told you this was going to go kind of fast. Well, actually not. Yield to the growth. If you're having a hard time yielding to the growth, the thing that came to me about this letter was we need to get help. And if you've done your inventory, you probably have had help. You've probably got a sponsor. If you haven't got one, I would suggest that you do get one. If you're having a hard time, talk with somebody here that has a lantern. They might help you direct to somebody. They might give you some ideas. You can go see your pastor. This fellowship here has several. And they're familiar with the steps, and they might be willing to help you walk through that. But you need to have a sponsor and you need to have accountability people. Now, this sponsor is somebody you need to be able to call, and you need to be able to trust them, and you need to be able to listen to this person because he's going to speak into your life. And he's going to be speaking to you, or she, because Women need to go talk to women, and men need to go talk to men. And these people were speaking into your life the words that Jesus gives them. We need to trust that process. And the accountability people, they need to be somebody you can call and say, hey, man, I need to get together with you. I need to have a cup of coffee. We need to do that because that's part of yielding to the growth. If you were or are or have the problem of being a loner like I was a little bit, you really do. And I isolated to a few people, but they weren't the kind of people I needed after I came back into the Lord. I needed people that were full of the Holy Spirit, saved, redeemed, and had walked through this process. So I believe yielding to growth means that you need to yield to help, to others, to praying, to being in the Word. And when you're in the Word, let me tell you this right now. The pastor's giving you a good word. He's giving you a good teaching. It's good. And the guy on the television is giving you good preaching. He's giving you a good word. I believe he really is. And the person on the radio, that eight guys in a row on the radio, they're all giving you the good word. But if you're not opening up that Bible for yourself and letting everything else go and letting it speak to you, what it's saying to you, I really don't believe you're reading the word. If you're not just cracking that thing open and praying, Lord Jesus, reveal your word to me. And read that like you never read it before. You might have read it 10 times, but read again and say, Lord, reveal this word to me. And read it, and he will speak to you in a way that you've never felt before. Because he significantly wants to speak to you. Personally, he has a word for you. He has things for you to do. I believe this whole process of recovery, of sanctification, is mainly about healing. It's mainly about renewing our mind, like it says in Romans 12, 1. Should I read that to you? Let's read it, because it's really good. It could be like our life scripture here in Celebrate Recovery. There is so much in Romans 12, 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For though the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And he goes on to say that each of us have a gift. He gives us each a gift. He gives us something that we're supposed to do. But I think that going through this process, as we become healed, we become more and more aware of what that is, who we are in God. When we read the word and ask him to reveal that to us, he reveals us to who we are. And I think we really need to do that. I believe that, like I said from the beginning, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That is an awesome statement. You know, I believe that we're healed now, but I believe we have to reach out and we have to grab it. We have to really believe it. And I don't think there's anything he can't heal us from, mentally, emotionally, and physically. 1 John 3:9, the person who has been born into God's family does not make a practice of sinning, because now God's life is in him. So he can't keep on sinning. For this new life has been born into him and controls him. He has been born again. So, I just pray that we can yield to his growth, that we can yield to what he has personally for us, that we can accept and activate those things he wants to do in our life, the healing, that renewing of our mind. And I just encourage you to press into your sponsor, your accountability, and prepare just to make room. Get rid of all that stuff. Go confess what you've done. Get ready for victory, because that's what these next steps are about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much, Father, that you have been working in our lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just reach into us, Lord, and touch us, Father. that your Spirit would just dwell in us and give us the favor of your knowledge, Lord, to change, the power to change. Lord God, just that miraculous work would we be working in us, Father. I pray that you would help us realize, Father, that you are in us, Father. And I pray that you would help us to receive that faith and activate it, Lord God, in us, Lord. Receive, Lord, what you have for us, Father. Father, we want to receive it. We want to walk in it, Lord Jesus. Let that be our plea, Lord God. Do your work in us, Father. And we'll just give you the praise and the glory. It's all about you, Lord God, and it's all about your will, Father. Hallelujah. Amen.